ദിവ്യാമോദബലാവകുണ്ഡനപതിം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടികീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദശിരശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. They've been discussing the sadhanas, the 15 sadhanas that Shankara is giving for his sadhaka to gain a parokshanubhavam of Brahman. So the next sadhana, as we have been discussing, that the sadhanas that he is giving might seem similar. They have their similarity with the sadhanas in the Yoga Darshanam. And the names of each of these sadhanas that Shankara is using has been borrowed from the Yoga Darshanam, but still we have discussed each, and like whenever the names, the proper names came up, like similar names or the names that Shankara has borrowed from the Ashtanga Yogam, the sadhana portion of Yoga Shastram, we have discussed that and proved that it is not the same as what Shankara is meaning. The import or the way the sadhana is being done is not the same. So the similarity is only with respect to name or the namam or the name given to each of these sadhana. The sadhana in itself is completely or entirely different from Yoga Shastra. Shankara's sadhana is meant for a sadhaka to always contemplate on Brahman. So Shankara's sadhana is meant for a sadhaka to gain aparoksha anubhavam through paroksha anubhavam or through paroksha jnanam. Paroksha jnanam is siddhanta jnanam, and Shankara gave the sadhaka a clear understanding, clear paroksha jnanam of the of Brahman, of what is real, what is unreal, till the 100th or till the sadhana portion. From the sadhana portion he started practices through which a person, through which the sadhaka can remember Brahman, sadhaka can remember whatever has been learnt, so that once he remembers, once he does the sadhanam of shravanam and nididhyasanam. So shravanam and mananam has been covered. Shravanam, mananam can be replaced with paroksha jnanam, and nididhyasanam is the sadhana which is the bridge between paroksha jnanam and aparoksha jnanam. From shravanam and mananam a person gains intellectual conviction from the Guru and through logic, through his own intellect, but still he hasn't realized, he hasn't experienced, he hasn't intuitively or directly experienced Brahman. Therefore, in order for him to experience Brahman, he has to do the sadhana of Nididhyasanam. So Nididhyasanam, when done, would lead to aparokshanubhavam or moksham. So the bridge between paroksha anubhavam, paroksha jnanam, and aparoksha jnanam or aparoksha anubhavam is nididhyasanam. And this sadhana that Shankara is giving helps in nididhyasanam. So unless we remember that these sadhanas are meant for nididhyasanam, we will just go by the definition that Shankara gives, or go by our own definition, go by our own interpretation, our own implementation of what Shankara says. In which case we will not gain the benefit out of this sadhana, which is aparokshanubhavam. So if a sadhaka wants to gain aparokshanubhavam through the sadhana that Shankara is mentioning, then he should remember that these sadhanas are meant to give us nididhyasanam. These sadhanas are meant to easily enable us to do nididhyasanam. So so that we are ever contemplating on Brahman, and that ever contemplation of Brahman or Nididhyasanam or Anusandhanam, Nitya Anusandhanam, so that would lead a person to Aparokshanubhavam or Anandam, Sukha Prapti or Anandam. So while learning these sadhanas, as well as while trying to implement these sadhanas in life, we have to remember that the aim of each of these sadhana is Nididhyasanam. If we forget the aim of Nididhyasanam, that is to be easily achieved through this sadhana, as well as that the goal that we have to achieve through this sadhana is Nirguna Parabrahman, Advitiya Brahman, then we won't be gaining the fruit of Anandam. We will end up in more and more sorrow. We will do all sadhana, we will learn, yet we will feel some voidness. We will feel ourselves to be empty. We will not feel satisfaction. We will not feel contentment. So Ramakrishna Anandapuri, one of Amma's disciple, sannyasi disciple, he speaks about, in one of his book, he speaks about a person. Seems a person came to him saying that he needs to learn Vedanta. So Swamiji asked him, why do you want to learn Vedanta? Do you have any trouble? Then he said, no, I don't have any trouble. So if you don't have any trouble, then why do you want to learn Vedanta? Then the person replied saying that, though I don't have suffering, yet I don't have Anandam. So lack of suffering, lack of sorrow doesn't imply Anandam. A person might not have any suffering. He may be enjoying, he may be rejoicing, like a person in drug addiction, a person in many other addictions, or worldly people with money, with power and all, they'll be enjoying each and every moment of their life. They don't have any sorrow, yet they don't feel themselves to be perfect. They don't feel that sense of perfection, that sense of completeness, that sense of satisfaction and contentment, meaning that I don't need to know anything. So the state of jnanam, so anandam, like negation of dukkam or dukkha nivritti, removal of dukkam doesn't necessarily ensure anandam. A person will become perfect, a person will become purnam, and he will be happy always, whether he is doing good things, whether he is doing bad things, whether he is bored, whether he is not bored, whether he is discussing Vedanta, whether he is watching movies, whether he is walking, whether he is sleeping, whether he is eating or whether he is drinking. All during all those times he will be happy. If a person is happy during all those times, then that means he has known Brahman, he has gained Aparokshanubhavam. So gaining Aparokshanubhavam alone will ensure perfection, alone will ensure Purnam, Purnatvam. So after that, a person will not need anything else, there will be no need. When need ends, that is when a person is realized. Oh, if need ends, then why does Amma help others? So if we ask Amma, Amma would say that I don't have a need to help. I don't have a wanting that I should help people. I do it as much as possible. So any moment that activity is stopped, Amma will still be happy. So that is the state of a jnani. A jnani or a person who has realized Brahman, he may be doing actions, though it's not necessary for him. Any moment it is stopped, he will still remain the same. Balakrishna Nair was continuously giving Prabhashanam in Theosophical Society in Trivandrum, in a place in Trivandrum. He was giving for many years. All of a sudden there was some issues. The people there, the society people, they needed money, which they weren't getting. And therefore they stopped. They said him not to speak. He was still the same. He was unaffected by it. He started giving discourses in other places. And after 2-3 years or 4-5 years, they again called him back. When they called him back, he immediately went and started giving discourses. So if it was a worldly person, in the first case itself, he would have become angry. How can you say that I shouldn't speak? I have been speaking since so long. How can you say that? he'll get affected by that statement that don't speak. And similarly, when so, but Balakrishnan Nair, being a Jivan Mukta, he wasn't affected. Therefore, when somebody said, okay, don't speak, he stopped it. And when they called him back, if it was a worldly person, then he would, a person with ego, then he'll say, I cannot do this. Because earlier you told me to stop. So all those attitude problems will come up. That was not there because a Brahmajnani will not be affected by it. So this is a living experience in Balakrishnan Nair's life. And the same is found in the gospel of Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. Once Mathur Babu, the person who owns the place around, a place where the Calcutta, the temple, as well as the place where Ramakrishna was living, means in the temple, in part of the temple. So once Mathur Babu, some other person had come and was in the vicinity of the temple, and Mathur Babu said his servant to tell that person to go away. But this servant didn't understand properly. He came to Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and he said, Mathur Babu said you to go out. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa took his mat, which was his lone possession. He folded it, kept it in between his armpit, and then started walking. All of a sudden, Mathur Babu realized that the servant has said to the wrong person. He came running and said, I didn't say it to you, I said to another person, please go in. With no mood change, without any bhavam, a bhava bhedam, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa walked back in. Without uttering a single word, without having any change in emotion, he walked in. So that is the state of a jnani. A Jivan Mukta will never be affected by things in the world. So this doesn't also mean that, okay, if that is the case, then I'll call a sannyasi, I'll call Tejomayananda to my house and keep him waiting near the door. I'll not let him in. I'll call him, I'll invite him, and then I'll make him waiting in front of the door. If you do that, some jnanis might outburst, because that is required. So if you try to misuse, if you try to take advantage of the Mahatma, he will respond back. He will get angry and respond back. But even when he is getting angry or not, internally he will still be unaffected by it. So a jnani, a Jivan Mukta, most of the Jivan Muktas will not be affected externally as well. But some Jivan Muktas might get affected, might seem as if they are getting affected externally, but internally they will still be unaffected. The only way to judge that is by the bliss or peace that emanates from their presence. So even if they get angry externally, if we are in their vicinity, if we are in their presence and we feel bliss emanating, we feel that our mind is calm, our mind is like peaceful, and not only during that time, but after coming away from it also, we feel the bliss emanating around us for some time, some period of time, then we can know that such a person is a Jivan Mukta. The difference in like going to a beautiful concert of A.R. Rahman or any other person, and going to the Mahatma, is that in both cases you gain happiness. You will get happiness in the first case and the second case as well. The difference is that in the second case, when you come back from the presence of a Mahatma, your mind will still be calm. That's the reason why after you attend bhajan, after attending a beautiful bhajan, you will feel that particular night. Even if bhajan is there at night, you will feel that you can sleep peacefully. And the next day will be really good for you. The starting will be really good. Whereas if you go for A.R. Rahman's music or Hariharan's music or any Carnatic music, you will get happiness only when you get there. And that also is dependent on whether you like it or not. The moment you come back home, things will start again. So that's the difference between peace or bliss emanating from a Mahatma's presence and normal happiness which comes out of the merging of the mind. So in concerts, in A.R. Rahman's concert and all, for people who love music, Vidyaranya says that the mind merges. Duality temporarily vanishes, thereby you get happiness. But it's not permanent, it's not forceful, it automatically happens. But when we go to a Mahatma is like the alum that we put in water. They purify us. The moment we go near them, it's like fire. If fire is burning and cotton thinks that, okay, let me go near fire, it will get burnt. Like if, let's say, firewood also thinks that it can go near, what would happen? It would get burnt. The impurities will vanish. So if we go for a concert, our impurities will not vanish. That's the reason why it won't stay for a long time. Whereas with Mahatmas, when we go there, even though there also it is temporary merging of the mind, but still it is purification of the mind. The Mahatma purifies the mind by his very presence. And it's also good to remember that whenever in Vedanta we speak about Anubhavam or experience, direct experience, intuitive experience of the Atman, like Amma said, Atman is beyond all experiences. Yet the only way we can say that it is something that we experience is that it is a direct or aparoksha anubhavam. It's a direct experience of oneself. It is a direct intuitive experience. Though it is not an experience, we cannot term it as an experience. If we say it is an experience, then it is not completely wrong. Not completely right. Or we can say it is completely wrong itself. But still, that is the only way we can attract people. Only way an ajnani can understand. So it is an experience beyond experiences. It is an experience of the experiencer. That is why it is called direct experience, direct or intuitive experience of oneself. If we can, there is no need of experiencing oneself because we are always experiencing. But when we say experience of oneself, that means experience of the Atman or experience of the experiencer, which in turn is not an experience. So whenever in Vedanta we speak about an experience or a paroksha anubhavam, it is not an anubhavam. It is not a worldly experience, but it is going beyond all experiences. So when a person follows Nitidhyasanam, the bridge, then he goes from Parokshanubhavam to Aparokshanubhavam. Aparokshanubhavam is that state wherein he is perfectly blissful. It is that state when he goes beyond all experiences. It is that state where he directly experiences or gains an intuitive experience of the Atman. Means being the Atman. So we may use the word, or Vedantin might use the word of experiences or direct experience, anubhavam, aparoksha anubhavam, etc. Anubhavam itself, like Atman is beyond any anubhavam. Moksha is beyond anubhavam. But still, that is the only way we can convey. Words have their own limitations. So the best way of conveying is that it is an aparoksha anubhavam, direct or intuitive experience. So the next sadhana that Shankara speaks about is pranayamam. So he briefly defines pranayamam in the 118th shloka, and the three aspects of inhalation, holding the breath, and exhalation he covers in the next two shlokas, 119th and 120th shloka. We'll see pranayamam, just pranayamam today, and the rest two we'll see tomorrow. So in the 118th shloka, Shankara gives an interpretation of pranayamam, the next sadhana. Chittadi sarva bhaveshu brahmatve naiva bhavanat nirodas sarva vrittinam pranayamasa uchyate. Continuing the comparison or comparing and contrasting the same sadhana, the sadhana with the same name in Ashtanga Yogam or Yoga Darshanam. So in Yoga Darshanam, pranayamam. So pranayamam is control of prana. So it is control of prana through control of breath. So breath or breathing is directly related to prana. Prana is not breathe. Prana is a vital force which sustains life. As per Vedantam, prana is that which starts activity. Actions or pulsation starts from prana or prana spandanam. Balakrishnana uses this word a lot. So prana spandanam, prana, the vital force starts moving. So movement of the vital force, something propagates movement of the vital force, the prana starts moving. When prana starts moving, then life happens. So birth and death continue. It's like telling, there was at some point of time, there was some energy which was static and somehow it got into activity. That's why we say that energy cannot be created, not destroyed, but it can be transformed. So energy transformation started somehow, thereby life was sustained. So prana spandanam, and the prana or mukhya prana stands for Brahma, the activity of Brahma. Somehow Brahma started activity, prana spandanam, prana started moving, or Brahma started activity and things started. And this prana is not real as per Vedantam, because it is something which moves, and Brahman alone is real. Before prana spandanam there was only Brahman. Whereas in Yoga Shastram you have to control prana. Prana is the vital force. So if you control prana, then you will be able to gain a lot of siddhis. And not only that, if you are able to control prana, then you will be able to attain samadhi easily. The more easier you attain samadhi, the more quicker you attain samadhi, the more you will be able to split purusha and prakriti. And the faster you do that, the faster you will become realized. The faster you will get out of the clutches of prakriti, which means you will have anandam alone. That this is as per Yoga Shastram. Whereas Vedantic interpretation, let's see what Shankara is giving. As we know, like Shankara cannot speak about prana or as vital force control or breath control. Vital force control, which is achieved through breath control as in Yoga Shastram, because here emphasis is on Advitiya Brahman and Adidhyasanam. So Shankara says, Chitta Adi Sarva Bhaveshu. So Chitta Adi Sarva Bhaveshu. All the activities of the mind. So the various activities of the mind. So Chittam. Chittam is one of the modification of the mind. That's why we say there are Antakarnam is split into four, which is like we know that Mano Buddhi Ahankara Chittam. So Manas Buddhi Ahankaram and Chittam. All these are thoughts alone, but thoughts in different forms, different states. So one of the form that the Antakaranam or thoughts of the mind take is Chittam. So the thoughts take one form, it is called Chittam. So Chitta Adi Sarva Bhaveshu, all the various modifications of the Antakaranam or the mind in general, so like Chitta, etc. So Chitta Adi Sarva Bhaveshu, all the modifications of the mind, Brahmatvena Eva Bhavanat. Brahmatvena Eva Bhavanat. Bhavanat has to be assumed, has to be seen. What? Brahmatvena Eva, as Brahman alone. So each and every modifications of the thoughts of the mind, each and every modification of the Antakaranam, each and every thought that arises in the Antakaranam, in the mind, that has to be seen as Brahman, that has to be considered as Brahman. And by considering that, what do we do? Thoughts are various, diverse. So diverse thoughts, we make them as one Brahman. So non-dual thoughts, thoughts with our various, we make it one. We make it one Brahman. So Nirodha Sarva Vrittinam, that means the dual or thoughts in itself vanish because there is only one thought of Brahman. So Sarva Vrittinam Nirodha, by contemplating, by knowing, or by seeing all the thoughts or modifications of the mind as Brahman, we negate all the thoughts. That means all thoughts are indirectly removed, indirectly negated, and that is called pranayama. So earlier sadhanas as well, Shankara has mentioned some ways, like when you see everything as Brahman, he spoke about externally you can see objects as such, but internally, when through the mind, beyond the mind, everything is Brahman, because we convert it as Brahman in the mind. Here it is not with respect to external objects, but external objects themselves. If we need to perceive external objects, we need to create an impression in the mind. So when we say that I am seeing the laptop in front of me, that means there is a laptop thought in my mind which is formed out of the external object. So indirectly this means that whatever happens in the mind, internally seeing everything as Brahman, converting all thoughts as Brahman, that is called pranayama. So when we do the sadhana, when we do the sadhana of seeing all objects as Brahman, that means converting internally, when it goes through the mind, when it passes through the mind, removing the nama rupam and saying that it is Brahman, if we do that, then we are in fact following pranayama. So Vedantic pranayama or Shankara's pranayama we are following if internally we convert all objects into Brahman. So all the thoughts of the mind are converted to Brahman, which means there are no thoughts. If there are no thoughts, which means thoughts are diverse, thoughts are dual, thoughts are differing. So these differing thoughts are what causes problems. When we say that, okay, this I don't like this person, I don't like this, I love this, I don't love this, I love a person, I don't love a person, all these thoughts, these varying thoughts are what causes a person. If we are able to love a person for our entire life, then there will be no problem. But what would happen? We will see somebody else and we will get attached to that person. So when we get attached to that person, then the first person whom we loved, that love changes to either indifference or hatred. And to the new person whom we didn't even know, that means we were indifferent towards that person, we changed the attitude towards that person as love. So this changing of attitudes of the mind, changing of thoughts of the mind, emotions of the mind is what causes problem. If we are able to see everything as Brahman, when all thoughts are converted into Brahman, that means we don't have differing thoughts, we don't have varied thoughts, we don't have dual thoughts. If we don't have dual thoughts, if we don't have varying thoughts, we have only one thought of Brahman alone, then we will not get affected. Which means that we are achieving through two things. We are contemplating on Advitiya Brahman in our mind by saying that everything that comes in my mind is Brahman alone, and we are negating duality. So on one side we are following the sadhana of anusandhanam or nididhyasanam of Brahman, Advitiya Brahman, and on the other side we are negating duality as well. That means anukula sevanam and pratikula varjanam. Any path will have two aspects to it. One is following things which will help us achieve our goal, and the second is negating or not doing or non-doing or like not doing those things which will obstruct us in achieving the goal. For example, a person who wants to get into IIM, he should anukula sevanam. Anukula sevanam means he has to practice, he has to take some course, he has to join some institute and time or any institute and do regular practice. That is anukula sevanam. And pratikula varjanam is he has to avoid seeing movies, he has to avoid freaking out and all, because that will obstruct his path. So here anukula sevanam is remembering Brahman, which we are doing by converting all thoughts into Brahman, and pratikula varjanam is negation of duality, knowing that there is no duality, removing duality, which is also achieved here. So through anukula sevanam and pratikula varjanam, nididhyasanam will be indirectly practiced, and Practicing Nididhyasanam is why Shankara is giving these sadhanas. The more and more a person does Nididhyasanam, the more and more a person does these sadhanas, he will very soon realize his own nature of Brahman. He will gain Aparokshanubhavam, he will gain Moksham, he will gain Anandam. We will continue in the next day. Hari Om.